I'm going to talk a little NHL hockey. Analyst for the Minnesota Wild, Mike Greenlee, joins us. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Quickly, we'll talk a little bit about the news. Of course, outdoor game, the state of hockey will finally have one. The Wild and the North Stars will combine forces. Minnesota's team has guys like Brad Bombardier, Neil Broughton, Dino Cicerelli, Mike Modano, Bobby Smith, and you know a few other guys. Well, this will obviously be a major selling point for the state, not just for the city, but for the entire state.
Well, no question at all. I mean, I think they've been clamoring for an outdoor game naturally in Minnesota. And this is maybe the first step to eventually getting what they want, which is the cream of the crop, the actual Winter Classic. But, you know, this will be, I'm telling you right now that this will be a highly sought after event. It'll be the kind of event that people will, you know, sell their firstborn to get a ticket to. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. So I think, you know, Minnesota, they love their hockey, much like the people up in Alberta do, and so they'll do everything they can to get to that game or be a part of it.
The Wild, you know, they got Devan Dubnyk signed to that contract, which, you know, it was talked about for a long time. He wanted to stay there. They obviously wanted him. They came to an agreement, I think, got a pretty decent contract for him compared to where he was at this time last year and where he is going forward. So you look at the Wild, you know, they face Chicago in the playoffs. That's really kind of their Achilles heels. It's tough to get over the Hawks. Well, no one can in the playoffs for the most part, except the LA Kings once. You look at at Minnesota. And for them to improve, Mike, and maybe defeat a team like Chicago and win their division, which is likely going to have to happen if they want to get out of that division, where do they have to improve?
So I think a lot of the growth has to come from within. I mean, we've seen time and time again where, you know, we talk about where does a team get better. And, you know, unless you're drafting, you know, a blue chip player, or unless you're, you know, unless you get fortunate or are able to draft guys that will eventually become top-notch players like in the second and third round. And I think Detroit's a great example of that. But, you know, unless you can do that, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, everyone's under the same umbrella in terms of the cap. And so you kind of got what you got. And, you know, free agency is almost mercenary where, you know, you got to get a little bit lucky there too because you're getting a guy typically that is looking for a big dollar payout. So it's pretty tough, but I think for the Minnesota Wild, they need, as they continue to grow, they need more scoring. And you know, you say, well, where is that scoring going to come from? Well, it's got to come from within. I mean, unless you get lucky and pull a trade off or you know, sign a free agent of some kind that's going to all of a sudden take off. I mean, a lot of that's got to come from within. So the Wild still have a lot of young, talented players that are still probably not at their, you know, zenith in terms of their growth, in terms of where they can be. So they're going to have to see continued growth from all those kind of players and try and win the way they have been winning. So by defending really well, and now that they got a goaltender that I think can kind of carry them through a good portion of the games because he's durable and he's good, then that's how they're going to have to win.
They didn't really make any changes offensively, kind of sticking status quo with this team. So guys within, Mike, when you look at it, you know, Charlie Coyle, Grant, are those guys, do you think, ready to go to a next level offensively?
I think Granlund is. I don't know if Charlie Coyle is that type of player. I mean, Charlie Coyle, is a tremendous player, don't get me wrong. But he's not going to be your 40-goal scorer. I mean, Charlie Coyle could get you 20 goals and then be a great two-way player, be a physical guy, be all that, be a great team guy. There's no question. But, you know, every guy can't be a 40-goal scorer. I mean, I think Granlund has the ability to really break loose, and he's got that skill set that can create goals, he can score goals. So Granlund might have to be more of that type of guy. Niederreiter, I think he's got a good finish, so he could be that type of guy if he gets the right circumstances and if he continues to grow properly. You know, There's a few players that can do that. But, you know, keep in mind, you know, the Wild, January, February on from last season, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. So if they can find that And, you know, I don't know if I can call that lightning in a bottle, because when you play that well for 2 or 3 months, there's something special there. And, yes, a lot of it was Dubnyk and the way he was playing, but a lot of it was also the way the team was playing around him. So if they can have that, and what I like about the Wild is that, and you just said it, they didn't make a lot of big changes, and that's good because they got their core. You look at their defense, it's pretty solid. Their top four is great, and even further down, they've got some depth. You know, and some growth, and then, you know, their forwards are good, not prolific scorers by any means, but the type of players that could win games for you. Good solid lineup, three lines deep. That's the type of team that I think can win a lot of games, and, you know, kind of get through the tough times. So that's I think what they're hoping for.
Mike Greenlee, analyst for the Minnesota Wild, joins us. Mike, when you look at it, you know, long term for this blue line, and you talk about their top four defense, which ones do you think are best as pairings?
Well, I mean, Suter and Brodin have been tremendous together. I mean, it's Brodin has really taken off, I think, in terms of learning from a guy like Suter who knows how to control the game and control the play. He's not flashy. He gets the job done. Brodin has learned how to do that a little bit with him now, and I think they are a great pairing. And Scandella and Spurgeon, I mean, those two have been together for years. I mean, even in the minors. So that's become a great pairing between those two. So that top four that I just mentioned are pretty darn good. And after that, there's Matt Dumba, who's growing and who really showed us a lot last year. So, you know, he could really, fill a hole really well. Mike Riley, the Wild signed, is a free agent, so he's young. Hard to say if he'll make the team or not, but, you know, that's someone that's maybe for the future. So I think the Wild are, looking pretty decent in terms of D depth. But those the two pairings that I mentioned to you are, you know, a couple that have been together for the last few years and that have really shown that they can read off each other really well. So it's, it's a kind of relationship that could really set a solid top four for the Minnesota Wild back on the blue line.
Do you think they need a big physical banging defenseman?
You know what? We've talked. It's funny. We've talked about that a lot. It's always great to have a guy like that. And you know what? I mean, you want to have a guy who can step out there. Matt Dumba's not a big guy. He can be physical at times, but he's not going to be the guy that you're talking about. And, they lost Clayton Stoner a couple of, before last season to free agency. He was that kind of guy, stay at home, really, really threaten guys in front of the net. It would be nice to maybe have a guy to step up and be able to do that. Whether that guy appears somewhere or not, hard to say. But it's, it's great to always have a guy like that that you can throw out there and just basically just beat up the other team's forwards whenever they come around the net. If that's not in the cards for the Wild, maybe they'll have to out-finesse guys a little bit more. Scandella is a pretty tough and wiry kid. He's actually, I shouldn't even call him a kid now. Last year he told me that he found his man strength, which is kind of funny because it is true. I mean, when you're a teenager and when you're getting to your young 20s, there's a time when you finally step into manhood, I guess, and you, for whatever reason, you become stronger, you become a little bit grittier, and he's, I think, found that now. So he could be that type of guy around the front of the Wild's net. But I think, for the most part, you're going to see the Wild be, fairly finesse around that position.
Which is what they have, and obviously, puck moving is a huge skill. It's if you can find, those Brent Seabrook type of guys who can play big minutes in your top four but have size and strength, it seems to be a big added element, and you wonder if that's maybe the only thing that's lacking. What about Thomas Vanek long-term in Minnesota? How do you feel his whole season was last year for the Wild?
You know what, it's funny, he had a rough start, there's no question. He just didn't get going. He wasn't putting the puck in the net. I think, got some pressure on him and just didn't materialize for him early. But I'll tell you what, second half of the year, he put more pucks in the net. It was interesting when you looked at a lot of the goals that he did score quite often they were late in the game and they were in overtime or he was setting plays up. You know, the funny thing about Thomas Vanek, he frustrates people immensely just the way he plays. He makes saucer passes, blind passes, behind the back passes. He does those kind of things. It's exciting, but sometimes it's exciting in the wrong way. But, you know, it's interesting. Guys like that always seem to be around the puck. They always seem to be, you know, in the mix when the game is on the line and they all of a sudden, like, thread the seam somewhere at a backdoor pass. You know, I don't know how they do it, but just that's the kind of guy. I said this when we first got Thomas Vanek. It was the preseason show we were talking about it. I was saying people will need to have a lot of forgiveness when it comes to a guy like Vanek, because he will make you mad. He'll make a few passes. He'll do things that will make you angry. But he is the kind of guy where the skill and the creativity and the vision on the ice will pay off in other parts of the game. And so for Vanek, I mean, he's not going to all of a sudden become, you know, that hard-working, plug-in, two-way forward kind of guy. He's not going to be. And I think he knew that going in. Forgive him for some of the things that he gives up, but, you know, then celebrate it when he does something, you know, very spectacular. And maybe you place a guy that can be responsible for him as well, and it'll pay off for you. But, yeah, it can be frustrating watching a player like him, no question.
Mike, Nino Niederreiter had a breakout year goal-wise, 24, which is a career high. 37 points. He had 36 the year before, so that was similar. He basically had the same amount of shots, 149 to 143, but scored 10 more goals. So, you know, you look at the shooting percentage, and people will say, well, you know what, that's likely not going to maintain itself. And, you know, if he shoots more, obviously it'll go down. But maybe if he shoots more, eventually he'll score more as well. Where do you, like, did he evolve that much? Was there a little bit of smoke and mirrors when you break down his numbers? Evaluate his game and where you think he can go next year.
I would say, yeah, you know what, I think you're right. There's a little, I wouldn't say smoke and mirrors necessarily, but yeah, he was taking advantage of every shot he could take. You know, early on there, he was scoring at will. It was interesting because he was finding ways to put the puck in the net. I think for a guy like him, you know, he has to be able to play the game the way it's good for him. And so he's not going to be the flashy guy who scores on 13-14% of his shots. You know, that's not the type of player he's going to be. He has got such a strong lower body that he can fend guys off. He can work the end wall really well. I mean, he can draw guys to him and make nice plays, but he can also go to the net. And if he can stay on his feet, if he can be a strong skater, if he can be a guy that goes to the net and he's shown time and time again, he's unafraid to take punishment. And that, to me, shows me that he's the kind of guy who you can, you know, do everything you can to put him in the right spot to succeed. Because a guy that is unafraid to go to the net and take punishment and be around the net to score goals, he's going to score goals. But he needs to know that he's not going to be the wristy guy that kind of dangles and you know, cuts through the middle and he's picking corners. I mean, he's got to be a little bit of a more of a gritty scorer, I think. And you know, if he can be that, then I think he can be the kind of guy who can get, you know, the 25 or 30 goals and do it punishing guys at the same time. That's what I see him as. I see him more as that than a guy who's going to be, you know, the thrifty guy who's like making nice little moves and you know, and finding corners and stuff. I don't see him as that kind of player. So if he understands what type of player he is, and I think he's starting to, then he could be a kind of guy who could really contribute.
One last one for you, Mike. You know, going back to the days when we had the Smythe Division and the Norris, like, you know, the Calgary Flames beat their team. They built their team to beat the Edmonton Oilers. They were in their division. Do the Wild, now that we're back to divisions and you got to get out of your division before you get to the Western Conference Final, do they build their team to defeat the Chicago Blackhawks?
Well, you know what, I guess somewhat. But, I mean, the thing is the Chicago Blackhawks aren't the only good team around, and we all know that. I honestly think that, you know, teams have life cycles. And I'm not saying the Chicago Blackhawks are past theirs. I mean, they certainly are right in the middle of it. You know, you see teams that kind of push and push, and they're in the mix for, what, 3, 4, 5 years. Some are fortunate to have to be in the mix for longer. But if you don't win the Cup, or if you don't really outperform teams in your life cycle, eventually you're going to have that drop and where you have to rebuild or, you know, redraft or, you know, get fortunate or have a really darn good GM that keeps you in it all the time. I really think that the Wild are coming up on a good portion of their life cycle where they could be really competitive. And the Chicago Blackhawks certainly aren't going away from it, but because of the fact that they have guys, and we saw it this summer, they're losing a few guys because of the fact that the cap is, it's a cap world. So I think that they might, you know, the Wild, I think, will be getting more and more competitive with them. But, you know, you look at other teams. I mean, look at how Dallas improved a bit this year, this summer. And you look at Nashville. I mean, you know, they're starting to get into the right part of their life cycle. So it's not going to be just Chicago that you can build yourself around to beat, because Chicago won't be necessarily the threat every year for the next 5 years. It could be someone else. So you got to just keep building your team as best as you can so that you can try and beat everyone. But yeah, I don't know if GMs, actually, it's an interesting question. I would like to ask them that, but I can't imagine that GMs would sit around and say, how are we going to beat that one team? Because you know what? The minute you find yourself building your team to beat that one, next thing you know, you look over the corner, over your shoulder, and there's another one there that you didn't necessarily plan for. I think you just got to keep building your team as best as you can, and hope for some good fortune as well.
Mike, great to catch up with you. Enjoy the next few weeks of the off season, and we'll talk to you right around the corner when the season starts.
I look forward to it. Take care. Have a good rest of the summer.